Blog Talk Radio.
Places Network. You are tuned in once again. It is Thursday night and we are back. And as always, usually you hear that wonderful voice of our sister, Dr. Ava Muhammad. You may hear later on in the show, but we want to make sure that everybody is tuned in, locked in. We definitely have an excellent and incredible show tonight. I am just so just happy to be able to talk about this show tonight, because I definitely am in that space where our guests will be talking about tonight, this cultural revolution. So I'm just ready and waiting to hear about the cultural revolution. But that's what we're going to be dealing with tonight. So, but before we get there, we always want to invite you and make sure that you remember and never forget to continue to hear the guidance and the warning from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So we want to always make sure that you are listening to all of the things that the minister is giving us and guiding us and directing us. As we always refer back to Savior's Day 2020, the unraveling of a great nation, July 4th, 2020, the criterion, and, of course, this past Savior's Day in February 17th, 2022, the Swan Song. So we want to make sure that we are present and around and listening to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and what we just recently heard of him at the National Training. So we want to make sure that we are staying in tune with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And you can get the life teachings, life-giving teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad every Sunday at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern at NOI.org. And for our self-improvement study group every Friday night, go to study.noi.org, study.noi.org. So, you know, we're here. We're going to have a wonderful show. And like I said, we may have a peep of our sister, but we want to make sure that, you know, that the show drives our callers out. The show allows for all of us to get on, to have this conversation. So call 563-999-3065. That's 563-999-3065. And let me make one quick correction. The Swan Song wasn't February 17th, as I knew. February 27th of 2020, the Swan Song. We want to make sure we continue to listen to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And also, always go to finalcalldigital.com, finalcalldigital.com, and subscribe to the baddest and boldest newspaper on the planet, the Final Call newspaper, and see and hear about the things that are going on literally across the world and our COVID-19 section. So it's just so much packed information in this wonderful, wonderful paper, the Final Call newspaper. So there's a lot going on throughout the world, throughout the country. I think next week I will mention again the anniversary, the 17th anniversary of Hurricane, the Katrina commemoration, as we say, The 17th year will be on August the 29th. That is coming up and around the corner. But there's a lot that's going on around throughout the culture, throughout the world. And at this time, we're going to go ahead and bring on our sister so that we can, like, literally jump right into this evening's conversation, because this conversation is going to be very, very enlightening and very much so a deep conversation that we're going to enjoy tonight. But as always, Time for Justice, our other show that comes on Tuesday night at 8 p.m., you need to listen to A Time for Justice. And the one who is orchestrating it and coordinating and giving our guests and hosting this powerful, wonderful show on the Elevated Places Network every Tuesday night is our sister attorney, Pamela Muhammad. And she's going to take it away from here. As-salamu alaykum, Sister Pamela.
Wa alaykum as-salam, Brother Terrence. Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Loud and clear.
Okay. Yes, sir. All praises are due to Allah. Thank you so much for opening up and, you know, with your warm and enthusiastic, you know, spiritual greeting. I just really appreciate you for coming on every week like you do, Brother Terrence, and being Sister Dr. Ava's co-host on the Elevated Places Network. I look so forward to hearing from you all the time. So thank you again for bringing me on. And I would like to thank, you know, of course, Dr. Ava Muhammad for, you know, the Elevated Places Network. And I'm looking forward to this show as well because, you know, we're going to talk about hip-hop. And so, you know, but what really kind of jumped off at me is this, the title of the final call was Defenders of the Culture. And so, you know, as we talked on A Time for Justice on Tuesday, we talked about our children, and we talked about defending our children and preventing our children from being at risk. You know, we had some wonderful guests on, special guests. We had a sister who was an executive director of a youth bureau. We had our, you know, brother attorney. We had our sister judge. And then we had a brother who works in the community to fight for our youth. He's a grassroots outreach program director of a wonderful program. And so we were really talking about our youth and the protections that they need against this wicked system. And, you know, we really, as we talk about, you know, children going back to school, we really wanted to talk about some real solutions, because we don't want this pipeline to the prison, you know, to go unchecked this year. We're going to protect and prevent our youth from being, targeted, and at least, you know, the enemy, you know, we're going to give them a real fight to win, because we want to educate, we want to empower, and we want to help our youth. And so I want to just share a couple of articles from the final call. I think as we talk about there was an article by Sister Nisa Islam Muhammad, and I just love the way her article is entitled, because it's entitled, you know, moves are being made to protect cops, but what about the rest of us? And so that really went along with what we were talking about in on our show. We've got to protect ourselves. We've got to protect our children and our community. And so, you know, when you look at articles in this week's final call, like the one entitled London Police Stripped Searched 650 Mostly Black Youth in a 2-Year Period, it talks about just this worldwide system of white supremacy. And, you know, Brother Terrence, it was some of the stats, it was saying how in 2018 in London, you know, the strip searches of 10 to 17-year-olds, 75% of them were black. You know, between 2018 and 2020, 3 out of 5 mm-hmm. of those who are searched, they're black. They say that's 58%. And really, the kicker with it is that mostly the children are found to be innocent. 53% of the cases, there's no further action. They just want to dehumanize and criminalize attempt to put our children at risk. And that's what we're talking about, and that was our perspective about, you know, keeping our children safe. And so I just wanted to kind of wrap up with a article that is really, I think it's worth us at least paying attention to, and that's an article about a judge by the name of Mark Civarella, and he's out of Pennsylvania. And this white judge, he actually got fined $200 million, him and another judge. They got fined over $200 million because of the damages done while they were sitting on juvenile court benches. Really, they call it a cash for kids scheme because they were actually selling these children to private prisons and getting kickbacks. And they say over, according to this Associated Press article, over 300 people are a part of this civil lawsuit with this over $200 million judgment, you know, because this judge and this, he was convicted and sentenced to 28 years in prison back in 2011. And this, again, is Mark Civarella. And, you know, if you recall, last week we brought up another situation in Pennsylvania where the children are sleeping in conference rooms. There was an article in the Philadelphia Inquirer. And the interesting thing about that is it talks about how three-fifths of the black of the children who are in these juvenile prisons in the state of Pennsylvania are black. You know, so here we have someone who we can see, former judge Mark Civarella, who's now serving 28 years in prison. You know, he was part of that. You know, he got fined. So you always have the criminal case. And in this instance, what just happened a couple of days ago is that there was a civil judgment where on top of the 28 years in prison, they got this $200 million fine. And, you know, I just wanted to really bring that out. The other judge, Conahan, he received 17 years in prison. And you know, some of the facts, they talk about how these judges, see, they get in these little bitty courts and they push the zero tolerance policy. So you got children as young as 8 years old who are maybe first offenders convicted of little petty thefts and minor crimes. And, you know, that was one thing that our judge, our sister judge, Nichelle Muhammad, was like, you don't have to do that as a judge. You can be just and give some sentence that's more proportionate, you know, somebody stealing some gum or something like that. You know, it's ridiculous. And even the children need outreach and education. So, you know, just again, with this particular Mark Civarella, according to an article, this man actually, he sent a African-American child, I'm reading an article written by Cory Doctorow, he said he sent a African-American child to jail for 3 months for posting negative comments about her assistant principal on MySpace. You know, so this is atrocious. And, you know, at the end of the day, I just want to close, but at the end of the day, we went back to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's article. It was a July 19th article in the Final Call, who is the natural enemy of the original man. And one of the things he brought up is that, so we have to break up the colonial status of the black community. You know, he said you can't make this community a decent place to live unless we control the education. He said the education is part of the trick. And just going down to the middle, and I'm going to close, want to quote him as saying, you need an education that will make you love you, that will make you see what you have contributed to the onward march of civilization. And so, you know, just that's where my focus in terms of bringing out some of the issues, the atrocities, the tortures, the targeting of our youth is for the purpose so we can see, this is what's going on behind closed doors sometimes, and we may not know, but it further shows how separation is the solution. So I just wanted to give that report, Brother Terrence. Yes, sir. Assalamualaikum.
No, Islam. No, thank you. And I stay by. Well, of course, you're going to stay by. But I want you to read that statement again before I bring in on our guest, because I just wanted to run through. I forgot to share a couple of things that are going on in the world, just so people can know what state of condition that we're in. They in the news, the Bible is among dozens of books banned in this Texas school district outside of Fort Worth, Dallas. I mean, Texas. They're banning the Bible in Texas. And then there's a thing where Facebook has taken down the page for an anti-vaccination organization run by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who we know Brother RZA has worked with. That's going on. And then it says the U.S. offers extra monkeypox vaccine doses for gay pride events. And I'm like, boy, if we don't see what's going on, I don't know what will. But that part that you read sets up the introduction for our guest, Sister Pamela, Attorney Pamela, that you stated that helping the image of us seeing ourselves, right, and loving ourselves.
Sir.
Can you just read that one more time? And it's a purpose and reason why I want you to just read that part one more time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The minister, he says, you need an education that will make you love you, that will make you see what you have contributed to the onward march of civilization.
And that sets up this perfect introduction. And for everybody that just joined us, you are tuned in to ask Dr. Ava on the Elevated Places Network. You can call in at 563-999-3065. But our guests right now are igniting a cultural revolution and a part of this igniting, and I would say reuniting, and the continual igniting of a cultural revolution as I grew up on the Big Daddy Kane, Public Enemy, KRS-One, Rock Kim, Poor Righteous Teachers, Brand Nubian.
That's right.
You know, even with Ice Cube and all of the things that we know, we came later, Mos Def, Common, and all of what we call this conscious music, X-Clan. And we saw this growth of that kind of music and beauty of what you just laid out, Sister Pamela, is that the artists that we have, and let me say this, as my brothers would say, it's bigger than hip-hop. It's bigger than hip-hop.
That's
so this
right.
is not just a discussion about hip-hop. This is a discussion about culture and
That's
how
right.
our culture has been used, how our culture has been manipulated, and our guest tonight has set a new standard for the culture. And that standard has actually taken off in mainstream. People have appreciated and people have loved. And our sister that we're bringing on is like, let me use this example as I bring our sister and brother on. I remember talking to Music Soul Child, and Music Soul Child, you know, we're talking about comparing his music or other people's music. And he said, you know, everybody's drinking this, drinking that, and drinking this. You know, people drink all what they want. But at some point, everybody got to drink some water. Everybody needs some water to sustain themselves. So you may taste this and like that, but everybody going to come back to water, meaning you got to come back to the essence. You got to come back to that which gives your body life. And when we heard Lauryn Hill come on the scene, when she came on the scene, it was like a breath of fresh air out of the music industry. So our sister who's coming on, our sister Neelam, who is coming on, is that new cultural revolution, breath of fresh air, with her husband,
right.
Brother Marquis,
right.
who's in the industry as well. But we just wanted to welcome them both to Ask Dr. Ava. So at this time, giving a greeting to our sister Neelam and Brother Marquis. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you so much. This is such a pleasure to be here with you all. And wow, that opening just got me fired up. I'm really so amped.
Well, we know we're just really going to, we're just going to take it and you know, let people, I'm just going to let people know, none of these questions that I'm going to ask tonight were pre-scripted. This is going to come straight from them, come straight from their heart. But I got to go through a little history first to set this up. Now, you know, I can't say that I was just follow. Like, I remember when Sister Neelam started. I remember when she first, her first single dropped. No, I ain't going to even lie. We're not going to go there. Where I am going to go is with Brother Marquise, and which is interesting that I remember this brother, and he wasn't an artist when I met him, and it was at a Savior's Day, and it was at a youth workshop, and this brother had so much fire. He had so much passion. He was going off. I mean, he was teaching hard, and I was like, who is this brother? We need to get him across the nation. We need to have him going to every mosque and teaching. This was my mentality. This was my mind. I think this was about like in 2006. And, you know, I made sure that we lost touch here and there, but we stayed in contact. But I never have forgotten the energy and the spirit this brother has of teaching. So it's a beautiful thing that the two of them, and like I said, this is before the marriage. And it's a beautiful thing to see not only a strong brother with a strong queen that now is bringing something to the culture that's global, that is literally worldwide. And I don't really think the people understand the impact that our sister has on the music industry, because anytime you see your image, not just on social media, Instagram, or definitely on BET, seeing on the Cyphers, or many other things that you've done, that this now has gone on globally, and it actually is touching many, many people. But before I go deeper into that, I just want y'all to kind of give your synopsis. Matter of fact, I want you all to do something. This is something that Brother Terrence just created just on the spot. I want you all to introduce one another.
Okay.
That's new, right? That's a first, right? That's a first that y'all going to introduce one another. That's a first, but I know y'all can do it.
Okay. So that's a big one. Okay, so I'll introduce Sister Neelam. Sister Neelam is a young sister who was raised actually in Christianity. Her family actually like has churches and everything out of Seattle. And she came into L.A. and found herself in South Central L.A., pretty much like a culture clash, where she found out the difference between what's happening in the streets out here versus how, you know, people who are living a little bit, I guess you could say, more integrated in Seattle. She found Islam for herself, and she actually went through different variations of Islam. She didn't know that there were different versions of it. Mm-hmm. So she just kind of fell in love with Islam, but saw an attraction in what specifically the nation had when it came to actually producing and doing for the Black community specifically, not to mention others. She pretty much she's an artist in every kind of way, in every form. She's a fashion designer, it was never officially. She would be online and she just started promoting and putting out different fashions. She decided that she wanted to cover her hair full time and just follow that all the way. Like, she wanted to be representation for Modesty. And pretty much it was kind of instant. It started moving really quick, how much people started to respond, to look at her tutorials and just to see what she was just bringing to the Muslim world in general. People from all different Islamic walks first, really. It wasn't like just nation. It was Sunni, Shiite. I mean, people from Somali, Sudan, they just, you know, became attracted to what she was giving as far as modest fashion and even different hijab styles. And then ultimately, they also started to see that she was pushing stuff that was very revolutionary, like what she would put in her story, all these different things. And they saw that it wasn't just about modest fashion for her, but there was actually a purpose for the liberation and the raise of our people and for people in general. When she first pushed that out in a musical way and just did like a rap piece online where she just brought some sisters together and just did a rap, instantly it spreaded from the Shade Room to World Star to P. Diddy. Just different people were posting it, and it was just the first rap piece that she had put up, just giving off her heart and what she felt. And ultimately, it moved. And then from that, she did it again, and it did it again. And then, you know, from there, she just started kind of becoming a constant person going viral in that era, from people like Erykah Badu, Will Smith, Essence. I mean, her stuff was getting posted everywhere. And it was just pretty much talking about the times. This was a shocker for many people of the Islamic community in general, because a lot of them have never specifically, you know, focused directly on the Black issues in America yet. You know, that was something that's specific to the nation and something that the other nation does. So it really translated And all the way from putting her getting features in magazines like Vogue Arabia, a three-page spread, and then many more. Ultimately, from there, she's just been a consistent force that's just been moving with relationships with places like Roc Nation and others. Pretty much, Milam has been a movement. Like she said, she's not a rapper. She is a movement, and it's representing a high level of really respect, of dignity, but just kind of give a balance to what's happening in the music industry right now. She's not dictative to where it's like, hey, you can't dress the way you want to dress, or you can't be into what you want to be into, but is there choices? Why does it feel like everything is just running one way? Is there a balance? Milam has been a strong instrument in coming in to push and produce that balance. Hope that wasn't too long-winded.
Man, look at here. I just want to let y'all know for the record, Sister Ava is listening, and she will be listening again, and I know she will be like, wow. Just
crazy.
She would just say that. And I'm not going to let you do his introduction yet. I just want to let people know, if y'all not introducing your wife like that, y'all better go back and rewrite the script. Because that was introduction. I ain't never put somebody on the spot to do an introduction because he did not. If y'all don't know, he did not read a bio. He did not. That was not a bio. That was him off the top of the dome. That was a freestyle session about his wife, Sister Milam. I just want to let y'all know, that was a freestyle session. I told you the brother was bad, but I didn't know he was that bad. That was him, but you know, no, because what you brought up is that when I said I wasn't at the beginning, I realized that I was at the beginning because I do remember people sharing her posts about head wraps and scarves, and I was like, okay, does she have a line? Because people was asking me, like, there were actual non-believer, quote-unquote, people outside the nation that was asking me, how can they get those scarves? And I remember people watching those videos that were not necessarily in the nation. And they were like, oh, that's beautiful. And people were referencing, and I literally had forgot about these conversations that I had where people was like, wow, where did y'all get those scarves? Where do you get? And I was like, I don't know where she get. Because I was like, I ain't know, because the way she was flowing in the modeling, I was like, I ain't seen them. But people was asking about it. And then, like you said, then the videos came out. And I literally forgot about that progression until you mentioned that. That was very powerful. So before the introduction that goes to you, Sister Milam, do you want to talk to us or can you share anything about your introduction that you like or that you want to go deeper into? Because it's very significant that you came up from a strong church background, then came straight to South Central LA. That's just a transition in itself.
Right. I honestly have to say that I've never heard an introduction like that in my life. And thank you, babe. That was really beautiful. But wow, that was actually really thorough. Yeah, I am from Seattle, Washington, and it's funny that you say like a culture shock in itself because it is predominantly white where I grew up. There was only like a handful of black students in the schools that I attended, but then I came straight here and it was like I saw like two white people in my school, so it was like such a change. And but yeah, I really feel like you did a great job of the history of that, and yeah, the attraction that I saw with just the transformation of lives, it was honestly the most profound thing I've ever seen. Like, we've seen ex-gang members, ex-drug dealers, prostitutes, everything that in their lives are completely transformed. That was the most attractive thing. And I've never seen black men treat black women in such high regard. And that, of course, was very attractive to me as well, and it just made me, you know, it was like a magnet. I was like, I gotta be here.
and so with that, so that is a very deep transformation, and I'm glad you told that story because I don't think people would have known and seeing the power of blackness in your videos, the strength of the Vanguard drilling. It's like, you know, for some of us, we thought you black all life, like you grew up black, you know, in the sense of around all of this black
culture because you come off so strong, so proud, so assured of yourself, as Sister Ava said, that proper education of seeing ourselves. So I guess the next thing out of the introduction, could you have imagined just modeling some scarves that this would lead to where it has gone today?
You know what? Absolutely not. And it's very interesting because I went to my husband. I got inspired. It was actually Muslim Women's Day. I saw the hashtag and I started going through it. And I just saw so many, beautiful Muslim women and girls dressing modestly and, all the ways they wrap their hair and just seeing how it was dynamic as well. Because, back then I was kind of like, oh, there's only one way, that's boring. And it was just like, no, this is dope, this is beautiful, and this is in accordance with our religion and what we've always been taught to do. And, sometimes I was back in the day a little rebel, like, no, my hair is cute, I don't want to cover it, And I remember coming to my husband, and I was like, you know what, I really want to embrace, the Muslim head covering and dressing modestly. I just think this is a beautiful thing. And he was like, absolutely, let's do it. But he, with his mastermind self, he started turning it into, he's like, these bloggers that inspired you, you can be one of those who inspire more people. And I was like, whoa, okay, I never thought of that. So, naturally, for me, it was more of a, I wouldn't say not to, but it was just a personal choice. But Marquise is kind of like a marketing and manager mindset. And he's just like, you know what, we can really push this. And it's positive. Pushing positivity in a world that's just always pushing negativity is like, it's like, why not? So it was a beautiful thing. But I have to admit that with following Marquise's direction and like guidance and like, we should go this direction. I think you're doing great here. Do this. You should amplify this. I think you would be, just another great positive voice in this world. And doing that, I couldn't imagine the feedback. And it's been so beautiful, people from all walks of life just responding in such positive ways and getting DMs from young girls who are like, thank you, you inspire me to dress modestly and not feel, nervous or feel like I'm the oddball out, So it's been really beautiful.
And let me just say this. I'm loving the interview, and I'm tell you why. And we definitely going to get to this cultural revolution. And I just wanted people to kind of know more of you, because sometimes people don't see the person behind the video, behind the music, behind the glamour. Because there's such beauty, there's such confidence, but as you listen to you, there's so much humility, there's so much humbleness. And you're just so thankful and so grateful. And that's a beautiful thing. So people need to know the spirit behind the image, because sometimes we don't know, we really don't know what people are going through when they're in this world of entertainment. And I was just telling somebody, I was just telling that to somebody today. I was like, when somebody pulls up and they don't get out the vehicle immediately, you don't know that they maybe have just gotten up, just gotten off the plane, just done an interview, and they are like exhausted and they fell out in the van and they're trying to get themselves together to be able to get out to give you energy. But you just like, oh, that's a diva. They taking a long time. Why don't just want to get out? And they don't know the whole world. They don't know the whole world of the entertainment. And I actually know that. And they don't see the other side of the artist. They just see what they see on TV, but they don't see that. And even what you just gave about Marquise, about the things that you should do, having somebody in the industry, somebody that's in the business that love you and care about you enough to put you on the platform to show you what you need to do. We used to have artist reps that help develop the artists. They not only develop the artists in the industry, develop them as a person. You need to do this. You need to do this. You need to be guided this way. So hearing this helps people that are, and we're going to get to the industry in a second, but now it's back to you, Sister Neelam. It's time for your introduction of this brother, whoever he is. I don't know who he is, some brother on the other line, Brother Marquise. Your time for the introduction.
All right. Brother Marquise Muhammad, this man is, he's like an anomaly, because that saying, the jack of all trades, but we tend to, what was that one thing where it says, oh my gosh, it slipped my head, I'm sorry. The one where, the one who masters.
Oh, the Jack of all trades.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, the
because we always cut off that ending part, not
right.
knowing that it's like you get really, well. So I'll go back to that. Sorry about that. But he pulled it up.
The real one.
Bye-bye. I just feel like that describes you so. I'm gonna find that quote, but it describes my husband so well. But Brother Marquise, I actually met him teaching on the rostrum. I went to the mosque the Sunday prior. And that was when I stood up and accepted. And the next Sunday, I brought my mother, my two sisters to the mosque, and he was teaching for Youth Sunday. And I kid you not, my mother leans over to all three of me and my sister, and she goes, "Wow, I just love this brother. When are you guys going to marry him?" And we all laugh, like, "Mom, what are you talking about?" Like, and it's just quite hilarious, the fact that, you know, I did marry him. But that was the day that my mother and my two sisters accepted, and it was really beautiful and, like, life-changing. And then, like, you know, for me to come in first and then my family to come in, and it was actually Brother Marquise on the rostrum that they were inspired by. So he's a minister, and he ministers in many different ways, from online to, you know, being on the rostrum. He is also, like, a world philanthropist, if you get what I'm saying. Of course, he's an artist as well. He was signed to Epic and signed to Arista and Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis back in the day. So being in this industry actually was a thing that he has done from a young age. And it's funny, if you talk to him, there were so many things about the industry that disgusted him. And for us to come full circle, and he's able to help guide me in this industry in a way that, you know, we get to just shun away the things, the dark toxicity of the industry, how he just continues to focus on the light and striving to just, you know, put positivity out there. You know, it's been amazing. And he was becoming a consultant for Muslims of the World. That's a big company that goes around the planet helping, you know, places that, well, we've gone out to Africa, and we were giving cataract surgeries, literally people who had cataracts over their eyes. We did the surgery the day before, the next day they're able to see, and it was just absolutely beautiful. We built orphanages in the Gambia, and he was the consultant for that. And also, you know, he's a producer, a sound engineer, director, a marketer, an activist, a choreographer, all of the visions that we're able to bring to life, it's his direction. And it's just been an amazing ride. He's a bit of everything. Please excuse me, I'm more of a doer instead of a talker. He's so great at that. But of course I'm me. But one of the main reasons that I'm here and obtain, you know, a voice in this world has been because of him.
Crazy talk.
Wow. That is absolutely, absolutely amazing. And so, you know, for people I know, Brother Tans, when are we going to get to what we want you to talk about? And the reason why I say it like that is because it's Sister Neelam, you know, and everybody knows Sister Neelam. And, you know, that's a beautiful thing to be known. That part that I want you all to talk about that's not known. Because when we see the videos drop, we be waiting for your videos to be dropped. We be waiting, and y'all be teasing us, you know. I'll be playing with us, showing a little clip, showing a little clip that it's coming, showing a little practice, showing all the different things, and then it drops. And, you know, everybody want to share it, everybody want to put it out. And then when you saw the cipher, you know, everybody next, like, yeah, that's my people. Everybody know you now. Everybody your friend there. Everybody know you now since you was on, you know, BET the cipher. But I really want to kind of talk about and get serious and talk about this industry. How was it for both of you all coming up in this industry? Or, you know, Brother Marquise, I know you've been in it for a while and you've seen a lot. I want you to talk about what you have seen in this industry. And Sister Neelam, can you talk to us about your journey staying true to yourself and the image that you want, and how even staying true, you were not actually denied fame. Because some people stay true and they never get to the level that you have gotten, and you're still going because you haven't stopped yet. If y'all, both of you, can talk about this industry and how it is, or whatever aspects of the music industry y'all want to share.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll come in, because I saw the bridge way between the old way. You brought it up earlier, and it was like perfect when it was talking about how the industry used to be, where, you know, there was the A&Rs. When I was signed to Epic, I was under a man named Max Goose, who was the vice president at Epic. And literally, they shaped you. They did everything possible to try to get, you know, you through the system, right? But what you learned was there was a system. You learned, like, oh, okay, we're dressed like this because we're being told to dress like this. We're moving like this because we're being told to move like this. Where all of these things that were the system back then, you found that, okay, this is some a kind of a controlled environment. Like, for example, if you see NWA, when they were in their raw form, they had, you know, F the Police coming straight from the underground. That got banned. Mm-hmm. They couldn't perform that no more. But anything that they wanted to do about when they started beefing with each other, about killing each other, anything, you can listen to that to this day, and it was played all the way through. So it became clear to me, and I'm after that time, but it became clear to me early that I'm like, okay, this is a controlled system and a controlled setup, which was even to me kind of better than what is happening today, because with streaming and everything that came in, it became people, you know, straight to the game, straight to, or I guess you could say artists straight to the actual community. And that ultimately pushed it to where people's idea of what they think of an artist is in the most rawest form, they could just put it out in any kind of way possible. So we found that right now the game is a lot more raw. There's a lot more that's going on, and it has the idea that you're able to be straight to the buyer or the customer, because you can just post on YouTube from where you're at. You can just post from anywhere from where you're at. But what we've learned is that ultimately, what used to be, what Warner Music used to be, what Epic used to be, what all the major record labels used to be, is now what Spotify is now what Apple Music is now what YouTube is, which is all people who don't look like us, who, you know, don't really care for us. People say numbers never lie, but they never heard of an algorithm. You know, they never heard of someone who can actually determine your reach and determine where you can go. And so ultimately, the industry is just real different because it has this idea that is free, that you can just do what you want. But ultimately, once they catch on to what you're about, what you're doing, then that's when the real war hits. You know, that's when the war changes. It's kind of like when the minister finally, you know, did the Million Man March. And then it's like, that was too much. You know, like, okay, we let you get away with a lot. And from there, and they're, you know, they don't want to write about them as much. They don't want a lot. So that's kind of how the game is now. You have the free space to inch your way in there and do what you got to do. But when they catch on, it's not over. It just means it's a different kind of war. And observing the Honorable Minister Farrakhan and the Messenger, you know, you're blessed to see how someone can still move and be successful when all odds are against you. And that's been huge on being able to – that's been almost the only example we got on how to really push through and penetrate.
I'm going to come back to that. Sister Neela?
I would say it's been an interesting ride, you know, being your authentic self, and especially being contrary to what is mainstream, or honestly what is anywhere. You know, when you think of a female rapper – and you think about what does she talk about, how does she look, you wouldn't think of me. And so naturally, I'm building my own lane and my own path. And that can be more difficult because you're the person in the front knocking down the bushes for, you know, while everyone else is following a path that's just right open for them. And but when you have like a mission that is beyond like, oh, I just want fame or I just want money, but it's like, no, I just want to push a positive message and bring balance to this industry. And you know, just women Black women are just so dynamic. I say this all the time, but we're so dynamic. We're so multifaceted. We're just so everything, but you only push mainstream one type of mood, one type of look. And I just feel like it's important for us to be able to bring that balance back and this kind of stronghold, make our presence known regardless of, you know, regardless of what's trending, regardless of what's in, we're going to be us regardless. And, you know, in the beginning, you know, like, well, I remember being invited to, you know, like the Jordan party and being like, oh, wow, okay, so what am I going to wear? And feeling a little nervous because as a woman, you're like, you want to still serve, but you want to be modest and beautiful. But when you realize, like, no, modesty and just being ourselves is the most beautiful thing. Everybody else is doing the exact same thing. I go into a place and I stand out. And it's funny because it's like it wasn't on purpose, but everyone is in a uniform. They don't realize they're in a uniform, but you are. We're all the same. And so you can't help but and then we know that unalike attracts. So, you know, it's beautiful to get the reactions from people from all walks of life, male, female, who are like, wow, I just love the way you are dressed. I love your essence. Wow. It's funny. Some people, before they even know who I am, they're just like, you speak to me before I even realize, like, oh, you're the rapper or you're the, because your presence in the room is just contrary to what we're looking at. So, you know, it's been quite beautiful to learn that your superpower is being yourself and that we are the best. You know, it's like we are the trendsetter. And I know sometimes it's hard to be in a world and be the oddball out or be the only one, you know, like yourself. But when you realize the power in that, you embrace it, you just realize, like, I don't know, it's the best thing you could be. And so standing out in this industry, I feel like, has been the most positive thing I could do, because I could have been like everyone else and what, just fade into the masses. But I believe the reason why we get such a reaction is because it's something, well, there's nothing new under the sun, but in a sense, it's something new and it's something refreshing and something, you know, I know we are in a dark time, but there's a lot of people out there who they're kind of tired of the toxicity. They're tired of the same old, same old. And so there's kind of a void out there, and they are receptive to what we have to offer. They really are. And people are in pain. They don't know why, because they don't have knowledge of self. They don't know what to do. But they're suffering out there. So when you come, and to be honest, it's just about being a clean glass, because it's so dirty. All these lessons are so dirty now, so this clean glass is shining. And it's like what you said, we need water. You could drink all that other stuff, but a glass of water looks really refreshing now, because we are out here thirsty, dehydrated, and sick. So it's just beautiful to see that reaction, and it does empower me even more to be myself and be proud of it. So, yeah, that's all I would say.
No, and you're saying such good stuff, and I was going back through some of the videos, you know, the Nas Made You Look remix with the whole crew, you know, AK-47 in the background, you know, just that whole crew, and so it's beautiful when I see the video, and I'll be the king, and you know, and you see the images almost Wakanda forever. And just, you know, just seeing the beauty of the different images, but then also just seeing the vanguard. And let me just give credit to whoever the choreographer is, because I don't think people understand. Drill is one thing that's straight up choreographed, and you got to be tight on your drill. Drill is something.
Right.
But when you step, when they do that drill, then when you step through, and then the photography turns, and y'all move this way in the drill, that photography, that cinematography and choreograph, I don't think people really understand. Let me just say that. I don't think people understand I understand what I'm watching. I understand how many takes that had to take. I understand the angles. I understand the editing that it took. And that was some very, very high-level skills as far as even with the outfit. So I just want to give a shout-out just for my entertainment eye. Y'all made some dope videos.
Crazy.
I want to move – Yeah, I want to move.
And Brother Terrence.
Oh, my fault. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Well, you know, I have to want to give the greetings to Sister Neelam and Brother Marquise. My name is Sister Pamela.
Come on. Well, they can come on.
Yeah, praise you to Allah. And so I'm from Houston. So I do have to, you know, I got some young sisters too, 25-year-old and a 16-year-old. So they've been in that, you know, experience. But beautiful, beautiful concept. And I want, you know, I'm hearing you all talk about living your authentic self, how and the therapy that music makes people feel better. I kind of read that in Sister Charlene's article as well. I also read that, you know, you all are artists whose music and views stem directly from the knowledge of the teachings of and under the guidance of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So, that was the point. With the Houston Vanguard, I think you said, Brother Marquise, you wanted to stamp the nation's image. So how was that, just in bringing that to the forefront?
That was everything. And I think when it comes down to stamping it, the good thing about the nation is that you don't really have to force anything. People here already are what we are if we're doing what we're supposed to do. So it's just all about presenting things. When it came down to what's happening with the drill and everything that's going on, we knew, like, first of all, the Vanguard category between the Vanguard to the Junior Vanguard is I've been in drill. I've been on drill teams. I was a DI, but the Vanguard, that's the, you know, which is great because it's the direct sex and age that the enemy's after right now. And I was always taught that the enemy's after obviously us, the black man, but indirectly, he's coming directly at our women. And in those prime ages, it's the war is on them print level today. And but it's also allowing them the ability to be able to step up, to show a certain level of leadership, a certain level of power, a certain level of independence. And so I feel like the Vanguard, the drill, and what it represents, even the whole, I don't want to say fraternity, but the idea of it is it's gold. And if you could see them, like, grill and do what they do and just the way that they move, the way that they operate, when on the detail, just in everything that they're about, the actual culture of Vanguard, it's actually something that I believe women and girls, and they would respond to and actually see it and be like, oh, I want to be a part of that. Neelam used to be a cheerleader. So for her coming in and doing drill was like, whoa, this works. Like, you know, as she started to grow up, it wasn't like she was going to be cheerleading anymore. So to do drill is something that it feels cultural. It feels like something you're a part of, and it has the energy. It has the power. It has, you know, everything that it needs. When it comes to the nation, there's nothing like the Houston Junior Vanguard. They're five-time champs, so there's nothing you can't fight them on that. They're five-time champs. We've never had that before, like what they've done and what they produce. In order to make this happen, I worked with Sister Rashida and Sister O'Shea from out of Houston. Mm-hmm. And to be in the process to just even see, because, you know, I come from drill, and it's really like Brother Terrence said, it's if you don't understand the culture or really know what we do, you don't realize how much has to be done to make it happen. Mm-hmm. So we're out here, and I'm sending videos back and forth. For everything that I sent, Sister Sheeta turned it into something 20 times more. And then the crazy thing is that most of everything we did in the last video we did, about 60% of it was done on the spot. That's how good these girls are. They never saw the shots that I wanted and exactly what we wanted to do. Right. So we did one rehearsal with them, and between Sister Rashida and ourselves and Sister Shea and all the sisters, it was like we had to build right there on the spot. And it's probably even more impressive to see behind the scenes than actually than in front of everyone. But when I was talking about, like, really stamping the image, stamping the brand, the idea of a Vanguard and what they represent is it's fresh in the world. One thing we've had coming out of the nation is we've had many leaders, even female leaders. But as far as like Vanguard in this era, in this time, in that age range, is be a powerful to have something, a weapon in that place that's able to speak to them directly in that age range. And that's really what, you know, we meant by stamping, of making sure that we present something that's new, present the idea of having, you know, something in the vanguard ages that's able to be attractive, because it's not only attractive to the women, it's the most thing attractive to the men. And like she was saying, when we was at the Michael Jordan house party and other places, I can name artist for artist how they all respond when they stop and they see Neelam or Vanguard or whoever they are with them, and how they look, and how everybody's naked everywhere, but they look and they see the clean glass and they really go, like, they respond crazy. But they also, we also want it to be known too to all the Vanguard and everybody, is that, you know, like how the brothers know, that comes with a certain level of responsibility, because people are not admiring. They don't know what to do nowadays with what you admire. It's like looking at a flower that you want to pick. And the minute you pick it, it starts dying. And the hard thing about, I think, even for the sisters and Winnie Lam and the Vanguard, is that once the attention really comes, it's the idea of knowing that you got to hold yours, because they don't know what to do with you. And ultimately, they'll end up trying to kill you off, like we're doing to all of our women or anything that we get our hands on nowadays, mainly because of the culture of hip-hop and the turn that the industry has done to use it against us when it before was for us.
Mm. Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you. Yes, sir.
And it's so powerful that you brought it up, because when you started talking about the Vanguard, it immediately took my mind to the S1Ws of Public Enemy, how we saw that image. And the S1W, then it started taking me to Rakim when I saw the Star and the Crescents and Poor Righteous Teachers or Brand Nubians, and the stuff, the imagery that they put in their minds, and all of the stuff that, you know, we had the medallions, the red, black, and green from X-Clan, the imagery that was put in these videos. So it's a beautiful thing to, like you said, the etch. And it's also a beautiful thing that, you know, back then they were not ashamed of, like you said, Rakim showed this, the Seven in the Crescent. He wasn't scared to be a guy, 5% Nation, and proudly put that in the video. And so we're showing this beautiful image in this culture that we want you to shape. And that's why I think when Sister Neelam started to do the scarf, it was just like this beautiful, like, hey, look at me. Yeah, I'm cold. And matter of fact, my hair wrapped too. And what? And it was so, it was just a presentation of that. It was like so fly, so dope, and covered. And I think that's the beauty of the imagery that, like Sister Pamela said, it's a powerful. It's a power. Oh yeah, and don't forget. Let me forget. Thank you, Sister Pamela, Nas, and everybody. And that brings me to the cover. I want to shout out.
Before you go ahead, to that, can I wanted to throw in. I'm sorry, not to, but we're on the
Image
Show too, and I have to give Sister Ava a salam alaikum.
Yeah.
And
pause in that. You know why? Because I want you to do it so she can hear it, because she may just jump on. So I want you to say that to her directly.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, because I know you want to do that, right? Because when you hear her voice come on, you may want to actually say that to her, because you don't want to say, I said something about you. You want to say that to her, right? Yeah.
I got you on that. I felt so guilty just continuing on without the one. She's so incredible.
Oh, no. And mind you, I did send the text to her, and she knows how much y'all love her. And that's why I said, look, I know Dr. Ava. And for everybody, you are tuned to Ask Dr. Ava on Elevated Places Network. And we may have a special wave at you all to greet you all before we get off the show. But I did, and we're going to come back to that. So I'm going to give you that opportunity, because I know y'all are very grateful, and I was very grateful for you all to be on, because people don't understand who we have on the show. We have people that are literally in the industry, been in the industry, and that's why I wanted to give a shout-out to some of the people, because we want to talk about some of the work that you all are doing that people don't even know that y'all are doing. Like when I saw y'all in Africa, I was like, hold on, what they doing in Africa? What? You know, like, y'all, you was doing some great work. And I say that because as I looked at the cover, you know, shout out to Dinek, you know, in New York. He wasn't able to come on tonight, but we're going to get him on Munu Fresh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Nanique, yeah, and Munu Fresh. She's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. Her and Vic Mensa was with us in the Hip Hop Caucus. We went out to Standing Rock, and they were standing with us in the indigenous community fighting against the Dakota Access Pipeline. So we was out there with her.
Yeah.
And then Vic Mensa came with us to Flint, Michigan. We were dealing with the water crisis in Flint.
Right.
And Munu Fresh came with us, and we did something with Yanasha Hollis, who was with our sister Yanasha. Working with them. I actually was just on the phone dealing with some stuff with Davey D today, and in the article we were seeing about Davey D, but because the reality, we talk about hip-hop, we think it's the 8 to 10 songs that's on the radio is hip-hop, but there's so many people around the world that represents the culture that we just don't see. Even with Rhapsody, straight out of North Carolina, you know, she was with Until Freedom when Until Freedom was going around the country doing a lot of things. So there's a lot of people that represent this culture that people don't know. There's a lot of people that are trying to put and when I think about Ryan Coogler making Black Panther, people don't understand the imagery because there was a scene where they went to the casino and they each one had a different color, red, black, and green on.
Right.
And the imagery that they're putting in this, you know, into the movie. So I guess the question before we have this special one come on, how powerful or how do you see the imagery that you're putting out there in your music, Sister Nealam, the words that you're using, the music that you're rapping, and your imagery, how you see the effect that it's having on the culture?
Yeah, I feel like everything we see in music videos and hip-hop, the negative, that's all by design. So me and Marquis strive to do everything by design as well. And we want, like you said, down to the details for the imagery that you see to, you know, if it doesn't touch you blatantly, it touches your subconscious, you know? And I just feel like our image and just the way we do what we do is top echelon. So putting that to the forefront, I just feel like it's very important. And back to what he said about, oh, I think it's important that we stamp our culture and our image, because if you look, sometimes you'll see, like, I don't know if you guys saw Kendrick Lamar during the Super Bowl Sunday, but they were doing, like, drill moves and stuff like that. I got a ton of people, like, tagging me, like, hey, this is, like, what you do. And it's like, yeah, people like to dibble and dabble into our culture. So it's important for you to stamp, where is this from? Who really does this on a regular basis? It's not dibbling and dabbling. This is what we do, you know? And I just feel like it's imperative that we show powerful and beautiful and just attractive imagery that is good for you, you know? And yeah, that's what I would say to that.
Anything else you want to add, Brother Marquis, since she made you the marketing, the strategist, and all the other things she gave you kudos for?
Kind of run with and agree with everything Nealam said. I mean, it's almost like you just pulled to a Savior's Day. There's nothing like it when you see the FOI uniforms, when you see everything that that we portray just in the cut that the messenger has set up, the actual cut, every detail, everything down to the design. It's attractive. It's beautiful. It's powerful. It's strong. So marketing is just how do you translate it, you know, in their language. If we're speaking you know, English and they're speaking Japanese, how do we, you know, translate to where they can understand? And the blessing of the nation is that we've received that blueprint all the way across. You know, Master Faj started off with the silk. And so it's pretty much, you know, when it comes to the imagery, it's all about just getting it in front of everybody. It's about the exposure, because there's nothing we got to change or do. Everything has been done right. Everything has been set up perfectly. So we're just ultimately figuring out ways to market it. That's where we're at now.
So the article in the final call says defenders of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I just guess I would want to add, when we say defenders of the culture, talk to us a little bit about why we have to defend the culture. What's wrong with the culture? What has happened to our culture? You know,
right.
if we are defenders of the culture, it's almost like we're the Justice League. We're defenders of, You know, but why is it? Yeah, so like, what's wrong with the culture? What has happened to the culture? Why is the culture? And some people may not really understand that. If they're not in the culture, if you're not a part of the culture, you don't know what the culture is. You know, why is it needed? Why do we need to defend the culture?
Well, I mean, let's start off with the people who don't know, I'll make it clear to them. From 1991 to 2021, suicide amongst black people has risen 80%. There is no other people who suicide has risen that high for. We survived Jim Crow. We survived slavery. We're supposed to have more technology, more everything than ever before. And all of a sudden, we produce a generation that wants to kill themselves. So there's this underlining, underhanded things that are happening. And everything that we were warned about by the messenger about what was going to come to the future or what was going to happen and what they were going to do, we're now in a place where we are officially at that war. We're not fighting so much the war from the outside in. We're fighting the war from the inside out. And so the question has to be asked, what's coming in? How are they receiving it? What are they getting? We're fighting for critical race theory right now. Okay, beautiful. What does that mean? That means that education is not right. So then ultimately, what are we depending on for education? What are we depending on to shape ourselves? What are we depending on to learn about the world? What are we depending on to learn about ourselves? Well, historically, music has played a huge role for black people. Sometimes we would just start singing, and that's how we let the other people know, like, the mass is coming. We had code and language that we sent through music. And marketing and the branding America has figured out that we pass messages on through music. So ultimately, we are in a place right now. Let's look. The definition of education, the process of receiving or giving systematic instructions, especially at a school or university, especially, not only at a school or university. So right now, we're processing and receiving systematic instructions more through music than we are from education, than we are from college, than we are from religion. Music right now, culturally, is the wave that we're moving on. And how do you know? The way we dress depends on music.
Yeah.
What we think of ourselves depends on music. What we think about our women depends on music. What we think. So ultimately, if we're focused and we're talking about white supremacy and all this kind of stuff that everybody's talking about this system, why would you skip over the number one thing that's in the most important demographics ear? And that most important demographic is the young.
Yeah.
Anything you do today means nothing. We can have the most perfect black civilization today, but if in the future the young don't know about it, then they'll only represent what they know about themselves. And that's how we get carried on to the future. We don't make it to the future if the young don't have that. So ultimately, through music, we're slowly seeing that records are being broke. This kind of woman breaks records if she strips. This kind of person breaks records if they sell drugs. This kind of person, we're starting to see. And then the people like Cosby, you know, who I'm not here to defend or in any, you know, means like that, but that kind of person is getting broken down place for place. So we're seeing Michael Jackson, the culture is getting tore apart from this, and what's being exalted is these other things. The war is culturally right now because that's what's in the ear of the young. That's what's in the ear of our people. And so when you look at the idea of a revolution, because the article was called, I think, Cultural Revolution, a revolution means a forcible overthrow of a government or social order in favor of a new system. Right now, it's critical that whether it's an inspiring or forcible overthrow, we must overthrow the culture that has been taken over by our open enemies, the major conglomerates that have taken what we've created to send messages to each other, to make us feel good while they threw us in trash cans, while they just gave us boxes. We learned how to break dance on the boxes. While they just gave us a bunch of tore up places and walls that was ugly, we turned it into art by spray painting it and drawing on the walls. We did everything to create our culture, and it's been hijacked by our enemies. And the consensus say that now we officially want to kill ourselves. The Cultural Revolution is a forcible overthrow of this social order that has been used to take our culture and use it against us.
And you just dropped the mic. That's what you just did, because you just stopped and just dropped the mic. That's how you know, but Marquise. Okay.
Beautiful.
That's just how you. Okay. I get it. But that, yeah, you just that you dropped the mic on that.
Okay.
Brother Terrence.
Yes, ma'am.
Brother Terrence. Yeah, so you know what I think with this question about revolutionary. So black love is revolutionary. Black marriage
is revolutionary.
And so this is another image that you all are representing, because when Brother Terrence made the comment at the beginning about how Brother Marquise introduced his wife, it's like, yeah, he knows. he knows because this is who she is. You know, this is your wife. So what is the benefit of, you know, you all having that ultimate relationship of being a married couple working together in this business industry? Anything you'd like to share?
I would say, wow, I feel like there's like a direct attack, not only against like black love, but just marriage in general. And the massive spread of toxicity when it comes to male-female relationships. I mean, honestly, it's like a culture where we're hating each other and we're complaining about each other. And it's just, it's really sad to see. So I do believe the image, the imagery of black love and showing that and putting that to the forefront and showing, I don't know, complete unity in the marriage as far as and supporting each other and being, how do you say, confident and secure enough to put, you know, from here and there, like how my husband puts me to the forefront and he, but people don't know that he's like the master. Well, some do, but it's like this is the mastermind behind what we're even trying to achieve. And I just think it's imperative that we bring back even the culture of marriage and love. Back in the day, you have the statistics on that, right? About back in the day, we used to be the most married.
Fresh out of slavery, between 1800s to 1960, black people would get married more than white people.
Right.
And a lot of our communities, you know, verified that. We owned more land. We had a lot more things. The only problem we had was white people wouldn't leave us alone and kept trying to burn it down and trick us and shoot us. So, you know, ultimately, I don't want to.
Exactly. And, you know, just bringing, if we could strive to bring that culture back, because there's a direct attack against that. Even there's this discussion right now about R&B. You know, R&B is usually known for, oh, love songs, but right now it's still your girl songs and I'm a cheat on you songs. That's how our R&B music is. It's like that pushing love is dead. However, we can listen to white artists like Harry Styles and Sam Smith who sing about love and have really beautiful songs. But if a black artist was to sing that song, it would get no bandwidth, no exposure. It's like we're not even allowed to sing about love because, like Tank said in this video that I posted, our love is a threat and our violence is not, you know? And, yeah, I just believe it's imperative. Did you want to add anything else?
Yeah, I guess when it comes to the relationship aspect, if you know my own projects with like a new and stuff, I always like to be with family and stuff, whatever. I think when it comes to relationships, I wouldn't tell anybody to just jump into strong business first before you establish a relationship. Me and Elam had been together for years, married, you know, before we moved on to do the Elam brand. So I think we wasn't online, like on even social media for years. Like we built ours very underground together. And I think sometimes it could be confusing for people because people be like, wow, I like how their relationship is. Let's do this. So don't think posting a picture, but it's like, no, actually getting away from everybody and doing, you know, and growing with each other, into each other, and learning each other has been a huge part. And that's what made me see that, oh, we could work together. I think it's important to put it out too, because today, you know, the women are getting educated, the men are going to jail. The fight is, you know, there's a lot of opportunities that's coming towards our women that may not be specifically at the hands of the men at this point when it comes to the black community. And I think a lot of brothers, our response would be, you know, to start to try to compete with our women, to start to try to, you know, kind of hold them back or try to, you know, make them feel less than what they are instead of recognizing that they could be a useful weapon, you know, in this fight, in today's fight. It's a different kind of fight. If you don't know how to keep up with your children, it's not the old day where you could say, oh, you know, hey, mom, how are babies made?
oh, well, the birds and the bees, your child will go on Google and find out you're a liar. You know, it's today, it's, you know, if we're fighting the dragon in scripture, then that means that we all have to have a bigger sword. We all got to come with it. And right now, they're throwing stuff at the children. They're throwing stuff at our women. And instead of running from it, ride the wave. And I think ultimately that's, you know, has been my mindset is, okay, let's go. I'm going to keep pushing you forward, and I'm going to rock right with you. I got the sword out. So, it's nothing to it, but we're going to move. And if y'all want to give our women opportunity because you think they're going to be against us, you're going to learn you just armed the most dangerous demographic of our whole situation. So, you know, I always use the analogy of it's like the king and the queen on the chessboard. The king moves one step at a time. The queen is the most dynamic player on the board. So, you know, ultimately I think they're activating, you know, a very dangerous component to our community, but they're not doing it for the community. They're doing it so that they can amplify the pain. Here, give the woman the microphone and remind her that her man has hurt her, that he's raped her, that he's robbed her, that he's this, that he's made her a hoe, that he's made her a this. And because as brothers, as men, we aren't growing up with a certain amount of emotional intelligence, we're responding by, you know, fighting our women instead of pulling back and holding some level of accountability. So I want to present the new world, the new way, you know, that ultimately is a time where it's not just it's just the men can do this and do that. Man, we got voices here. And if we work in a unified effort, we can make things happen, you know? And for me, honestly, that's in regards because of how I grew up. And I hate to always keep going back to this. I know Brother Tim's going to be mad at me, but that's from what I saw in the nation. When I was young, there was two voices as a child that I understood. When my mom had these tapes that they would play, and there was two voices that I knew you wouldn't have to tell me who they were. You wouldn't have to anything. And those two voices were the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and Sister Dr. Ava. No matter what played, I knew those voices. And that created for me a balance early because I grew up under male and female leadership. And that was the two strongest, like, living voices I could think of in my life at that age and at that time. And so ultimately, to me, I'm like, oh, y'all trying to come after our women. You just giving us the opportunity to throw out the Dr. Avas, to throw out the Mother Tynettas. Like, you know, when the messenger was incarcerated, Mother Clara got to work and held it down. So, you know, we come from a rich history of, you know, especially the nation has been the blueprint for the exaltation of the woman. You know, while people have their women walking 10 paces back and all of this, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad freed our women and made them the standard of what a culture is. And that's why they're the number one target, because if a nation can rise no higher than this woman, then, you know, make her a stripper.
Man, so y'all just laid out a whole lot, and I'm still waiting for somebody. But while we are waiting, we do have a few callers that do come on a regular basis. Some of them, they want to come on and maybe possibly ask a question, because yeah, everybody was like, this is absolutely beautiful. And somebody hit me up or online and said, yeah, he did. He just dropped the mic on that. He just dropped the mic. But hold on. Before I go to the phones, I think somebody that this show is named after asked Dr. Ava on her Elevated Places Network may be on the show, because I think, Marquise, you talked about a book called Real Love, and you talked about how that book, Real Love, was integral in y'all marriage. You and Sister Neelam, you know, kind of conversated over real love for the marriage. Well, I think that sister that wrote that book might just be on her own show. So let's just welcome our sister Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Praise be to Allah.
Assalamu
alaikum. We love you, your icon, and we're so honored.
Listen, Brother Marquise, Sister Neelam, listen,
I am row one in your admiring audience. And mm-hmm. my grandchildren watched We Got 'Em Light a little earlier today, and they are captivated. Okay, they are captivated. My granddaughter, who's five, is developing a real love affair with the drape scarves. So I told her I'm going to get her some, because we were on the plane coming here to D.C., and she took my scarf, okay, from me and wrapped it around her neck. She said, oh, I love this. I have to have one of these.
But,
oh, my God, the two of you are just the quintessence of what we need to do to put, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan always says, our best foot forward. And you all are absolutely right. I listened to you, Brother Marquis, talk about culture, and you have heard the minister say it. The value of one line in a song of a well-known rapper or hip-hop artist or a film that comes out is equal to thousands of words that we speak. It's not that the word of God, obviously, is what gives life to everything. But it's
right now,
you know, in terms of immediate impact on people and drawing people's interests and arousing their innate desires, the enemy has done such an incredible job of constantly intruding on us and our ability. And you said something, Marquis, that really touched me, because I say it all the time. If we had just been left alone, we didn't need anything from them coming up out of slavery. You know, as you pointed out, we had a marriage rate in the 90 percentile coming out of slavery, because this is who we are. The God in his second self, the woman. This is who we are. But they are always intruding. You know, we're here in D.C., and we went to the Smithsonian, the African American Museum. And, you know, we went to the Emmett Till exhibit, and my grandson, who is six, when we finished going through there, he said, I will never forget this.
Wow.
He's 6 years old. And so that's it just took that experience. It's the visual. Accompanied by the audio. But right now it is the visual that we have to have. And not only visual, but motion, movement. Neelam, to see you in the vanguard, you know, and then to see the brothers come, I mean, all of you, that, and that black and white is cold. That is, I don't know whose idea that
was. That's Neelam.
That is cold. Oh, my God. You know, so I really just wanted to come on, because I had to really lock myself in this little area to get away from the background noise. But I hope to, you know, be able to have more conversation with you all and do what I can in my little realm to really push you all as much as possible. We're right there. And it's going to look like this happened overnight, the takeover I'm talking about, the NOI takeover. Globally, God's tribe of Shabazz is back. And this is our planet, and we are taking ownership. Okay? So
that's right.
We're right there. And I see the God in you all. I see it in different aspects. The Elevated Places team and all that they do to make this program happen, our Project Separation team. I mean, everybody is starting like the planets. We're aligning, and we're recognizing our orbit. Accept your own and be yourself.
Be yourself.
That's all we have to do. And so I'm going to be quiet and listen for as long as I can, but I just can't tell you. You all are you're so beautiful. You're beautiful to look at. You're beautiful to listen to. And your spirit is exquisite. And I love that you are married. That's the critical piece. No marriage, no family. No family, no community. No community, no nation. And so I hear people still get it wrong. It is not God, nation, family. It's God, family, nation.
Right.
That's the sequence. And so to see a young couple out here doing it like this, you all are a true power couple. That's what you really are.
Praise be to Allah.
Yes. But my grandchildren love you, Miss Neelam.
Oh, wow. Praise be to Allah.
And I just put it on my laptop. I didn't even say anything. I just put it on.
Oh.
You know, and they just came in the room. Who is that? And as you said, Brother Marquise, that's how they kill us. They break up the generations. And so while Caucasians build on each generation, generational wealth, you know, you're 20 years old, your parents leave you a 6-bedroom home. How far does that put you ahead of someone the same age who's black, whose parents left nothing but debt? And they speak to it. They see to it that we go in this vicious cycle. So we're gonna break that up. But Brother Terrence, can't thank you. This is why you're so valuable. See, with this knowledge and intimacy with the hip hop culture. But just want to thank the Elevated Places team, Sister Pamela, Sister Rona, Sister Donna, Brother Terrence. But I love our fabulous young gods tonight. So I'm going to be back on you.
We love you.
So they want to give you, before you go, they want to announce about the live in studio master's class, and then they're going to definitely show some love to you before you leave out completely.
Oh, I'm trying to think of September 24th. My next master class. Somebody else has to do that for me because it's right on this topic.
There it is, and the title is The Destructive Hostility Between Male and Female: Cause and Cure. September 24th in New Jersey.
Okay, the 24th
in New Jersey.
But that's it. That's what's killing us right now. There's a hostility between the black man and woman. That's by design.
Right.
It's Satan. Yes.
Right.
And we got to undergo it and get him out from among us. Not only the physical Satan, but the Satan of self.
That's right.
Who hates our obedience and submission to the God.
Yeah.
So, thank you for that.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Apologize to the callers. Oh, I love you more. I know the callers are about to tear me to shreds. They want to get in.
Oh, they're going to get me. I'll take the hit tonight.
Okay. Thank you. I'm Aleka.
Aleka Salam. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, Sister Neelam and Brother Marquise, I had to hold that for y'all special, but she can still hear you all. So if y'all had anything y'all want to say to her before I go to the callers, let me know.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I mean, honestly, you know, you get shaken when Dr. Ava comes through. She's done so much.
First of all, icon.
We got to put her in front of Congress. If the minister would allow, I've never heard a person put out a better, just a full full out understanding from beginning to end on reparations. She came out and she, it's just different. So I think I said it earlier, but the first voice that I knew of strength when it came from a woman, from somebody who was smart, articulate. I mean, the first in my whole life was Sister Dr. Ava. I knew her voice so much, her and the minister. It was just that easy. Her book, Real Love, which I have the signed copy that she gave to my mother. She gave it to her back in 2009. Mm-hmm. And this book was one of the books that we read when we were courting, and it was a huge one for us, like a huge one for us. There are things in the book that literally – I want to say wasn't useful, but wasn't probably applicable until like 8 years in our marriage.
Yep.
Like there's things, and because we've been branding together, like, you know, in the world together, there's parts that we had read back then that we're just using, you know, literally her book, Real Love.
Give an
is,
example about the
example. Okay. Well, you put me on the spot. Okay.
Yeah,
which one?
You know, like when we,
okay, I got one. Can I think of this one? There was a part where, like, great thing about Sister Dr. Ava too is, so she's a wife, right? And
yes.
But she's also an attorney, so she,
right.
It's like she's in the both worlds so much to where it's like she has a perspective and enough experience to be able to tell you about both, about, you know, being a wife, but also, you know, being a leader in the world.
Right.
And there was something that she had said, I've known Imam always brings back up to me, but it was about when she had to. She was ironing, I believe, her husband's clothes. And she just talked about how with some things with the – I don't want to say it wrong, but with pretty much the way their schedules work and how their life is, that she would have to go sometimes and get his clothes dry cleaned.
Right.
And she was talking about the idea is that we got to get it done. So it's not – you know, I don't have to sit there and iron it. But she was just really giving such a perspective that it kind of became the Lam template as we started to brand more and as we got more busy as a couple together, because the Lam played more – of the traditional role in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then as we grew in a brand together, you know, she's pretty much we still held on to what we do, but we're fluid in, you know, some of the things that we have to move on. And this book was critical in helping us in regards to that. It, it broke down everything from the importance of communication. And I think it was like what a woman needs from a man. Like, I mean, it's really good. So, I mean, for us, it was a very important part of our marriage, and it's something that we always turn back to today, from courtship all the way to today.
Yep, absolutely. That was the example I wanted you to say about the.
That's
drag
the one.
Meeting.
Okay, all right. That one hit.
And you can go to ministerava.com to get that book. Ministerava.com, get that book, Real Love. And just to reiterate, the master's class that you knew about, that you were doing online, that you had to go to ministerava.com. It will be live in studio September the 24th in New Jersey, Plainfield, New Jersey. The title is The Destructive Hostility Between Male and Female Cause and Cure, Plainfield, New Jersey. Oh, and let me just bring on somebody right now who wrote this article from the West Coast.
Come
Charlene
on.
From the Final Call newspaper. Man, we just got everybody just jumping on tonight. Sister Charlene, welcome to the show. What you got to say about this powerful couple in the article that you was blessed to help guide and write?
Oh, praise is due to a lot. Y'all killing me, Larry, and the verse of my friend, Angela Burso, a beautiful Christian sister. I sound like if the church say amen all at the same time. Y'all, I can't believe that I'm hearing these words. First of all, wow, I was so slow to get on. I'm like, not believe what I'm hearing. This is all, everything that I've ever heard and ever hoped for, and with such clarity, and to have such a seasoned, beautiful, fresh, you know, right down to the modern time, just like you said, but Dr. Ava, and then you have, wow, this couple, this young couple, I see my husband in you guys, but at the end of the day, the whole panel, the team, this is such life-saving. You know, we need this. We really, really do. And I fell asleep. I mean, who told me about this? Well, today from several people. And thank God I made it on, because I would have missed this. And people need it. It's not like I don't know about this. I know about elevated places, y'all. We got to keep going It's like it shook me up. But reparations, look at all the titles. Look at all of this. Shabazz taking over the planet, you know, thinking that this is all past. This is right now, down the modern time. I have a question because I keep going on and on. I can break it on. I can do that. So the question I have is to Minister Ava, like, where did the disconnect come from? Because, you know, how do we piece it back together? I mean, well, this is, I don't want to say the underground railroad. This is the overground railroad. This is a train. This is a light rail speed to freedom. This is the 2022 and beyond intergalactic Harriet Tubman Railroad. But where do we lose it? Because I'm always looking, and this couple can help me, this beautiful couple. You know, the culture, where does it happen? And Brother Marquise, I think you may remember I spoke with you recently when my son recited, and we were looking at, let me just say this in my long time, but some of the believers, we were all talking about the intergenerational conversation that maybe we could have, because you all host events that are just like so vibrant where you're really digging into the teachings. And It seems like sometimes people think that older couples and younger couples cannot really have the conversation. We have differences, but remember I said, we're going to do this. We need to do this to have an intergenerational conversation. So the question is, like, how did you and Nilam, in this culture, in hip-hop, where all you have to do, you and she, one no more than the other, just as busy, push through, and how do you maintain your marital sanity, if you will, as well as your individual sanity, to continue the work to uplift people? And that was a lot of words, but Minister Ava, you and Brother Darius, I want to see you answer that question too, please, because it's rough out here in these streets.
Well, Ava went back on mute. She just came.
It's out my mouth now.
Sister Ava went back on mute. She just came on to give this brother and sister the greetings, and she's gone. But they can answer, and then I'm gonna run right to our caller.
Okay, thank you, Betsy.
Okay, so I guess I'll come in. Are we there?
I'm sorry, my keys. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. I mean, congratulations on Mustafa getting his ex, her son, who is going to Grambling University right now. He's a product of the MUI out here on the West.
Okay.
And he's there for engineering. So thank you so much to Charles Charlene for producing such a top soldier with the camp with us, and he's a cold one. I think I feel the pressure, though, because Sister Ava is I know you had sent questions to her, so you have to get the EBT version, the county version of the teaching. I guess I'll say with us, our personal thing, whatever. I think one of the things that keep us going, I love how Sister Dr. Ava talked about God, family, nation, and how she gave the structure, the order. And I think with me and Elam, having, you know, what we have as far as being trained in the nation, it's a blessing because the nation makes you focus on things. It makes you focus on your training. So, and focus on order. And so for us, it's order. She knows with me, the thing was, if we go into business together, if it's ever tampering with the personal, I always sat over that. We can end this whole thing today and let's focus on us being together, us being tight, and us moving on point. And it's a constant, I want to say a roller coaster for it, because we have a good chronic tone level. But I learned that it's the more you move up and the more you do, the more you should focus on the structure, like focus on the structure of what you have and what your relationship is. And what I mean by that is I went through a spurt where me and Yulama together all the time. So we would have these meetings, kind of like these little expectation meetings, where we'll sit down, go out to eat, and then we'll just talk about what we feel, what we want out of each other, just, you know, things like that. And one time she says to me, I want us to be together more. I want to, go out more and do this more. And I was fuming, like, you know, because I'm like, how can a man be with a woman more? We're together all the time.
Right.
But I didn't recognize that, you know, we were being together more professionally. But, you know, that's not the movies. You know what I mean? That's not
romance.
Right. Yeah, it's not romance. So ultimately, for me, I realized you have to pocket things. You know, you have to know if we're together right now, this is business. But you can't, you know, replace, you know, intimacy or replace romance or replace what Martin used to call quality time. You know what I mean? But you can't replace that with the business. And so ultimately, right, for us, structuring things and putting things in their place, you know, knowing that there was a time I had to tell Nilam at 11 o'clock, I don't want to talk business no more. You know what I mean? Right. At that point, right, I want to do too. I want to, before that, I want to talk, you know, I want to just be us. So
right,
ultimately,
right,
it's for us, it's about structure and making sure that we're constantly checking the system and making sure that we're, you know, tending to each other in every way of every need. Second, and tending to our own self first, you know, still making sure that we, you know, because she's better for the relationship if she's better for herself. I'm better for the relationship if I'm better for myself.
Mm-hmm.
So making sure that I'm, you know, doing the things the minister gave. I just got out of it about, you know, 3 weeks ago. Didn't do it in like a year or 2 years or something like that. So, you know, it's like making sure you catch back up. The minister's given us everything we need. Just do it.
Right. Simply.
Wow. Thank you. Oh, yeah. This is, gotta say.
All right, let me get out of trouble and go right to the lines because y'all gave a full lot, gave everything, but we want to go to our first caller who has a comment or a question. Hopefully we can get him in and get the next one and the next one. But Brother Darryl, welcome to the show.
I have a question for you. Happy Savior's Day.
Go ahead.
Happy Savior's Day. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam.
Okay, can you hear me? Think someone stepped
yes, sir,
in.
Go ahead, Brother Darryl. Go ahead,
okay,
Darryl.
Yes. Yeah, right quick, praise be to Allah for Master Farah Muhammad coming to us and opening it up to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and through our brother and sister. Thank your mother-in-law for your wife that you have now that brought her out and seen the God in you and wanted one of her daughters to marry you. So all praise due to Allah for these teachings and bringing sister in and embracing the teachings. And now you're both being yoked together. And like the minister said, when you see one, you see the other one. Mother Khadijah with him, they know they are one. Even when she's not with her husband and somebody look at her, she give them an eye, she ain't got to say nothing. Then it goes back to the culture of how you dress and cover your head, your head. Cover it is your crown. And thank Allah that hip-hop is coming in now with the culture of Islam. Islam is going to take this over because the minister said we'll never fall. Why? Because we won't let it fall. And the black woman is the mother of civilization. So once we continue to get our sisters in the nation, then our job as the FOI is to groom the brothers. That way all that B-word will come out. It'll stop. And then we'll keep her on the higher, because when she go up, we go up. So just the beauty of the culture of the vanguard and looking at how their clothes, some of the sisters out the world come in. Oh, that's the only way? No, it's more colorful ways of dressing. That's why I love when the children come in with the different clothes, coloring, and how they spend the whole 3 or 4 months before we come in for the drilling, and everybody's seeing that. Like right quick when the brother Terrence said they went, and I had a award and a silk signing, and the sister came out before she get off the elevator. She didn't even make it out of the hotel. It took 30 minutes because the way she was dressed, like you said, on the lack of tracks. So once we lift our woman up and get this culture for our children, like the Jews say, never again. The Holocaust, like Sister Ava said, he went to that, and her grandson said he would never forget this. This is what we have to instill in our children, because they are the Joshua generation. So as long as we continue to lift our sisters up, and like one quick thing with the brother said, when the sister, one of our young sisters came up to one of our sisters that was dressed in the garment, and she had like a band-aid on, which means that she was half covered like, and she's trying to pull up what she couldn't pull up, and what she couldn't pull down, she was trying to pull down, because it's our nature in our children. All they just need is guidance. Love you all. May Allah continue to bless.
Love
stay
you
safe.
Too.
Thank
yes,
you, Brother Darren.
Thank you, Brother Darren. Always a good caller. Somebody was trying to say something before I went.
Okay,
I'm not sure. So, Brother Hoyer, another good caller from Memphis. Brother Hoyer, welcome to the show.
As-salamu alaykum, family. As-salamu alaykum, Salaam. Brother Marquis, y'all keep up the good work. You and Golden Child and all of the new young rappers. I just want to congratulate you and be the great example. And I just have a little tidbit from the Torchlight for America, and it's in the promote a cultural revolution through the arts, and you all are doing it. I'm just going to read you just a little bit, and y'all are doing it. It says, the Bible refers to the people as sheep who, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, are easily led into the wrong direction but hard to lead in the right direction. The people are responding to what leaders have offered them, which is called popular culture. The people's appetite has been made insatiable for filth. If the leaders turn away from evil and indecency, then the people will turn. If the artists turn away from filth and indecency, then the people will follow. This is why it is written in the scriptures that the people need a good shepherd. In every field of endeavor, good leadership has to be asserted to turn corruption, greed, filth, and indecency into righteousness. And you all have done that with 100. So keep up the good work, family. And like I said, you know, just be that excellent example, because I was with Brother Abdullah Yassin and another brother, Chuck Green, today taking care of some business. And these are pioneers in the nation. And they was, you know, the older brother was, he started with the minister when he was starting back the First Resurrection. And he was telling us, you know, he owns a medical business. He said that they have working on our youth 24/7 from the womb, you know, and he works in the healthcare profession with the babies, you know, even in pregnancy. So we're at war 24/7 on two fronts against, you know, with our people. You know, I'm in Memphis where they're shooting left and right. You guys are in Chicago and different places, and it's black crime. And then we're dealing with the enemy, the devil, but we have a God, a Christ, and a reminder that has our backs. And all we got to do is just be righteous and be with him and stay on course and don't turn back on our heels. So keep up the good work, family. May Allah bless you all with tremendous success. As-salamu alaykum.
You
are welcome. Thank you.
As-salam. Wow. Okay. We got one more caller I see lined up. Brother Derek. Brother Derek, welcome to the call.
Hey, assalamu alaikum. Quickly, I just want to say, Brother Marquis, brother, as a writer, I know how difficult it is to grow out from out of darkness into light. And what your sister said, Sister Neelam, sister, you know, you're absolutely right. We are the trendsetters. That sounds like a song to me for both of you two, plug. And you know, and I want to say, too, that at those of us who have podcasts, you see, when I had my podcast, I would play music by the musicians within the nation. Sister Akila Nahanda, Brother Bateen, you know, Brother Cole and Brother K. Reno. And you know, we got to start taking the role of the light. Like when Brother was saying, this is going to spread. But we have to spread it. Like Sis said, we have to be the trendsetter. So if you notice, when the sun comes up, the light that comes from the sun, it starts a slow spread across the entire country. And the sun don't care whether you ready for it or not. That light is going to spread without you want the light or not. So that's the way we have to roll. So that's all I call to say. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you, Salam. I think, you know, it was something that he just said, and something got me distracted, because we almost down to the last 10 minutes of this call. But I wanted to ask a question. I think a question is coming in. But was there anything else that you all wanted to share about your relationship coming up in the nation or in the music industry, or even let us know what we should be expecting, what we should be on the lookout for. We know the new video dropped, but what else is, you know, what else would you like for our audience to hear or you would like to share about this journey?
I would just like to say I really appreciate all the support. An artist like myself, that is something that they don't really want to push mainstream. But everyone who supports is the real MVP, you know, and, you know, we don't have those big conglomerates and everything backing us. It's us independently. So it's just truly appreciated for every stream, every view, every like, every comment. It means everything, and I truly appreciate it. Did you want to add anything?
Definitely. I'm just grateful, you know, for just everything. You know, we got all the projects that are out. For those who haven't been able to check them out, go to, you know, everywhere you listen to music, whether it's iTunes, Spotify, Apple, Tidal. Elam's dropped 3 EPs, so go through all of them. There's about 5-6 songs on each one of them, so it's not long at all, but the latest one is called Anomalous. So, you know, just check out the work, and we're grateful for this one because we was able to collab with Brother Donique, who's out of New York, and Brother Golden Child, who's out of Chicago, who pretty much, you know, the last one we just did with We Got Him, like, along with the sisters out of Houston, it's kind of like the dream, like what you want, like, and in my mind, of it's the future. It's the artists of the nation coming together and finding creative ways to be really effective and to really be able to grow together. We have, you know, everything that we need amongst each other. And so, like what the last brother just said, it's about us pushing it, about us promoting and pushing each other. And what I mean by that, too, is I learned, like, who Scarface was and you know, these different figures are some of the most known, notorious white gangsters that were fictional and nonfictional through hip-hop, because everybody was naming themselves after these people, you know, Rockefeller and all this different kind of stuff, Noriega and whatever. So I think the same way that they pushed that and they did that, that's how we're going to have to stand for ours. You know, we got to carry on the names of those who inspired us and who made us. Sister Dr. Ava, that's a name that, you know, there's no way you can have a female artist or sister, even brothers who are out doing stuff. As we push, we want them to be aware of our giants. And a lot of our giants are already known, but we want to keep connecting it down to the younger and the younger. As a matter of fact, I have to give a special piece to a man who helped shape and mold me and has been pivotal in a huge time of my life, and that man was the Captain Shahid out here in L.A. That man taught me how to tie a tie. Believe this or not, Brother Terrence, the last conversation me and Captain Shahid had, which was about a month ago, he was calling me to tell me, it was him and Sister Tiffany, his wife. Shout out to Sister Tiffany, too. I pray the family is, everybody is thriving and moving and feeling great. But I got on a call with both of them because they wanted me to jump on this show and talk about this subject. Literally, and me and Elam was heading onto a plane, so we wasn't gonna be able to be on at the time that we were supposed to be on. But literally, that was the last conversation that we had, and that conversation allowed me to let Captain Shahid know. I talked to him for over an hour and a half, literally letting him know everything that he's done for me, and that was literally the last conversation I had, was me giving him accolades for everything he's done. And I feel like my life, everything I do, is going to be literally pushing the shoulders that I stand on. It's letting everyone know who they are, what they have done, and passing that word on, passing that torch on. You're spoiled when you're dealing with the nation, because the greatest that made it out of the Panthers, those who made it, who was in the 5%, those who put in work in the 60s or whatever, as a young person growing up here, they're the ones who are talking to you. And you don't even appreciate them until you get out there in the real world and you realize you've had all these different people to mentor you and shape you and bring you to where you have to be at. I'm excited to stand right now and to go out and to platform and to hit YouTube or Spotify and hit the streets or whatever it is, because we're full of a culture, of a community that made it, that fought and made it through COINTELPRO, that fought and made it through the worst extremes of what black people do to each other. Movements don't make it because the enemy is able to use us against us. And the messenger created an actual way. If there's anything I want to get to the nation or anybody for us to know, restrictive laws is our success. We'll start doing it more when we don't see it as something good we're doing, but seeing it as something beneficial. Wow, this is actually helping me. This is actually good for me. Once we recognize that, you know, the template and stuff that was given to us by Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad all the way to the restrictive laws, and we start pushing that out to our people and moving on that, we're going to thrive and we're going to move. Everything has been done. It's just on us to get going and keep it moving, keep it pushing. So I feel like that was long-winded and talked about a lot of things, but I had to say that about Captain Shahid, especially just because he wanted me to go on here, and I actually feel like I did exactly what he wanted right now. I thank Allah for all the pioneers, for the man who, back when Terrence saw me on the rostrum back then, the man who had told me to get on the rostrum at that time was Minister Abdul Wazir, who's passed away now out here in L.A. I have to give a special shout-out to Captain Halim. Oh, my God, this man got me out of jail. You know, like, just get arrested 3 days, nothing crazy. But just being young in this world, living in South Central L.A., we gave them hell. And Captain Halim, Minister, I had Minister Tony. His name is Minister Abdul Malik Saeed now. But he's, you know, he's resurrected to that. I had Minister Tony, who was in the trenches with me out there, you know, really molding me, really shaping me. I'm most excited to just represent those who have put so much to me, into my mother, into my family. So I'm grateful for this nation, and we're just ready to rep. We're ready to get to work. We're not tired. We're just getting started.
Praise be to Allah.
Well, praise be to Allah. We are down to like 2 minutes left. And I would just want to add, Sister Neelam, we thank you. You know, I thank both of you. You know, of course, Sister Neelam, your name and your image is out there. But I thank you, Brother Marquise, for the brother I met years ago to the brother that you still are. And we, as Sister Ava, love the marriage between the two of you all. The Elevated Teams have thoroughly enjoyed everything that you all have shared. And I just guess I would give Sister Neelam the last, you know, a few minutes to say anything of closing that you may want to say or add anything that you will want to share with the people, just for a few seconds or a few, just 1 minute that you got, and not to short you, that you would like to give the people.
First, I just want to say shout out to my mother-in-law, Sister Valerie. She's actually the real MVP even for our marriage, because she went to her son and said, "What about Sister Neelam?" And he was like, "Oh, wow, my mom's saying that to me. She never said anything like that to me before," and it really stuck out to him. So shout out to my mom-in-law. But I just want to say, especially to the Vanguard and, you know, just the MGT, that I know this world pushes a different image, and sometimes, well, it's possible to feel insecure and to feel like, I don't know, to just be a little bit touched by what's mainstream. But I think it's very important to know that we are the creme de la creme. You know, we are actually the most attractive thing. Not to get crazy, but there's DMs that I've gotten from the top athletes, the top rappers, actors, musicians, that would literally be on the Shade Room right now if I was tacky, that of people just, it's insane how our image, it really is the most attractive thing. The world is over flooded with that other stuff, you know, and I know these guys may go to that and, you know, go and disrespect it. However, as far as what's, they see the value in it as well. I'm so sorry. I feel like I'm rambling. But I just want us to know that we are the best. We are the most attractive, the most beautiful, and we really truly need to embrace being ourselves, being an MGT, being a Vanguard, and knowing that it really is top echelon.
No, and that said it all, and that wraps it up. And we thank y'all both, and we thank Sister Dr. Ava for allowing us to have this show. Thank our executive producers, Sister Rona, Sister Attorney Pamela, and all of those on that, Sister Donna and the whole crew of the Elevated Places staff. And we thank you, Sister Neelam and Brother Marquise. truly thank you. And for all those, we'll be back next Thursday here on the show. And once again, thank you all for coming on. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you. Thank you. Love you guys. Thank you.